2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, good morning and welcome to a brand new day. Nice to have you with us as always, waking up here on a Saturday. 7 minutes after 6 o'clock, a little bit chilly on the way in this morning in the mid-40s, mid to upper 40s anyway, but going to be a nice warm weekend for just about anything you have planned. As always, it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning. Tim Hughes in studio along with Russ Smith.
Okay.
I don't know which button it has. It's only been a week. Let me see if I can help
you. That has to be on? Okay. Yeah. Wow, you got it way up.
Holy cow, are we in trouble this morning?
You're good.
You can turn your headphones down over there. If that's okay. Too loud for you, because we do need to be able to hear
okay.
You.
Yeah.
How's
okay.
That?
Hey, there's little doodads up here.
Matt, I'm going to need your help in this room today, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
This is all, okay, I'm good now. It's all coming back to me.
It's been like seven days. He's lost.
No, it's been 14 days.
Oh, okay, you're right. It's okay. Been 14, because you were on the road last week.
Yeah, it was Southern Utah.
And?
And what?
Down to Escalante.
Escalante, yeah.
And?
It was awesome.
Yeah?
We had a great time.
Out with Monica French's class?
The last trip with Monica
French. Sort of bittersweet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah. Bittersweet's a good way to explain it.
Bitter because you're not going to do it again.
It's kind of sad.
Sweet because you don't have to set up that trailer anymore.
I don't know. The new lady, the new teacher might do it. Probably it'll be few years before she makes that decision. So,
well, for those who don't know, Monica French's class from Highland High School is a environmental science.
Mm-hmm.
They take the kids out. Many of these kids probably would never have these experiences if they didn't get out there.
Oh, this for most of them, these are high school kids. First time out under the stars.
Yeah. You know,
first time out at Salt Lake, probably.
And
most of them don't even know we have mountains around us.
How they do?
They do know? No,
they don't.
How did they do? Oh, they do fine.
I feel like I'm having a conversation with my 85-year-old mother here.
You sort of are. I got to take that as a compliment, Tim.
The weather? The weather was beautiful. No, we're asking how did it go? Where did we go? We went down to Escalante.
I'm doing that now.
Huh?
Yeah. What? Quit mumbling. What?
Yeah.
It was great. We had about 45 kids or so and about 20, 30 adults and a lot of cars. And they had all kinds of projects they had to do en route on their way home and while they were there.
So awesome.
They we got in it. The twins came with us.
Right.
The young lads, 4.5 years old, did their first Slot Canyon. So that was pretty cool.
Hey.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. We'll get more details on that a little later
this
morning.
That was pretty much it.
or at least that's all he can remember.
Really. It'll all come back to me here soon.
Taylor Powers is back in studio with us this week. Hey there.
Good morning.
I think we talked to you last week from Brighton, didn't we?
That was two weeks ago. Yeah.
I'm the one losing track
of time. I wish
really?
Brighton was still open last weekend.
You know, they're still skiing at Snowbird. My wife's actually thinking about putting on the skis and going up today.
Oh, yeah?
I think they're going to ski or keep daily operations up until May 12th is what I heard, and then they'll have weekend operations. And as long as that snow is there up high, they might as well keep the tram running.
Yeah. They said, or I heard someone say, hopefully until July 4th they stay open
that would
for
be
weekends.
Yeah.
skiing on the 4th of July, even if the conditions really suck as far as snow conditions.
Cool. Yeah, doesn't matter what the snow is like.
Yeah, put your shorts on, wear your red, white, and blue shirt, and get out there and have some pictures taken anyway.
You took out a ton of snow this year, didn't they?
Yeah, a ton of snow.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see the runoff all through the state.
Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. It's amazing, but it's a little scary, and it's going to get a lot scarier in the next couple of days for anybody that's going to head up the canyons. That other voice you hear is our friend Chuck Jennings.
Chuck.
From the metropolis, the huge metropolis of Willard, Utah.
Actually, I live in a suburb. It's North Willard.
North Willard,
really?
Utah.
Yes.
Is there a North Willard?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Didn't know that. It's incorporated?
Unofficially.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, I get we're not from Willard. We're from North Willard.
North Willard, Utah. But before we even got into the building today, I was already trying on the Volandre jacket, or I shouldn't say jacket. That's a full-blown coat there.
Okay.
Comfortable, light. We're going to talk about that today because you're still in the business of selling those, aren't you?
Cream de la cream.
You know what? That was heavenly.
Slipping on the jacket?
Yeah.
Except you need about three sizes bigger.
Okay. We won't go there. I'll get a vest extenders.
I'll talk to them about that.
Yeah, see if you can do that.
Zipper extender.
Also, our producer, Matt Jalalian, on the other side of the glass. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. I noticed an early morning post that you put on your Facebook about a particular bit of music that you thought you might use today. Can we get a little of that?
Yeah. We can. Give me a second.
Yeah, actually, it was on his Facebook page when I first logged in.
This particular bit of music?
Yeah. Yes. People might be wondering, isn't the big movie at the box office The Avengers Endgame? Yes. But
this is Star Wars music, isn't it?
And you know what?
May the Fourth be with you.
See, that's why I have Taylor around.
There we go.
I don't expect you two old guys to know what's going on today, but I did.
Huh?
May the 4th
what did he say?
Be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
The 4th.
She looks a little like Princess Leia. If you just had your hair up in a little bun thing.
Some buns, some side buns.
Yeah. Anyway, may the 4th be with you, Matthew.
May the 4th be with you.
It's become a thing.
The 4th.
You'll see it if you're on social media today. It'll be everywhere, and you'll be trying to figure out exactly what the heck is going on.
It's almost a bigger holiday than Cinco de Mayo now.
See?
Mm-hmm. May the 4th.
And you can still go get tacos if you want. You don't need
What is the holiday for May 4th? Is it must be a new movie coming out?
No.
It's just.
See, this is what I struggle with, Taylor.
May 4th.
May the 4th.
I don't get it.
Remember, this is the guy that had not seen Lion King either. So
probably never will.
Unfortunately. Yeah, but it just may.
I'll go to Africa to see Lion King.
Let Matt explain.
Okay. Like, have you seen Star Wars, right?
Yeah, you know, I have seen Star Wars. There you go. How about that?
Do I get any credit? Do you know what the Force is?
Star Wars.
I know what the Force is. Yeah. It's not the 4th.
But it's basically, it's just a pun holiday. So may the 4th be with you. May the 4th.
So somebody invented this.
Waka Waka.
Probably someone that had a lisp.
Probably Mark Zuckerberg.
And so tomorrow we're going to start a new trend. We're going to call it May the Sith be with you.
There you go.
Which, don't worry about it.
You people need to get a little more, a little more serious about life. My God.
Actually, this is why we don't. All right, here's what's coming up on the show today. We'll have some news of the week, hopefully coming up in just a few minutes. After the half hour, Taylor's here this morning for a lot of reasons. I mean, she's already added to the show because you would have left me in the dark here. You got the new bike?
I got the new bike.
You teased us about that a couple of weeks ago, but you've already taken it for a test run too, huh?
Yeah, I had a busy week, so I couldn't get a big ride in, but I went to a dirt jump park in Draper. And got to give it a test run on a few different trails, and it was life-changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good bike is life-changing. No, you're right about that.
That is so true.
If you like riding bikes, with all the new technology and the bigger front wheels and the fatter tires and the change of the gearing systems, the weight of the bike,
totally
all of those
things. Totally different. Because I was on a Cannondale Jekyll, which was an old bike.
Yeah.
I still got the job done, but I will never be going back.
No. No. Be prepared to spend a chunk of change when you're out looking for these bikes, but we'll talk about that, too. She's going to share the experience of that. I didn't know, first of all, that there was a, what did you call it, a bike jump park?
Yeah, it's it has some regular trails, but then it really focuses on these dirt paths that have rollers and different jumps, and people will go out and maintain them and groom them.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Do you even know?
Draper Bike Park.
Okay.
Wow. I'll double check.
Yeah, because I'd like to know about it. I've never...
You remember as a kid when they were building subdivisions and stuff, they'd have the leftover dirt piled up.
And
that was our jump park.
And pieces of plywood that we would then prop
immediately
up.
Immediately, you took your Stingray over there.
Have you ever been to Tanner Dog Park?
Oh, yeah.
So have you ever seen when you're heading down the trail on the right side, there's a bunch of dirt jumps?
Yep.
That's a jump park. That one's actually maintained by the riders, not by the by the city or anything.
All right.
That's advanced, though. I can't go there.
all right. We'll talk about that coming up. At 6:50 this morning, Navadopsis is on his way, first of all, for breakfast, I think, up in Morgan somewhere. And then they're going, he's got the float tube class out for the next several weeks. So we'll find out where they're headed there. And Ice Off is on and probably may be almost over. It only lasts a few days. But I've seen some videos, posted one on our Facebook page of some folks catching some nice fish up there. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. After the top of the hour, we're actually going to check in with our big game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. That's Davy Jones. And Covey Jones. I'm sorry. Great name. Covey Jones will be with us, and we'll have that conversation. 7:20, I want to find out about this Volandre coat that you brought in today and some of the other things, Charlie, that people can look to you for as we head into the camping season, because it's still a bit nippy up high. I mentioned it was mid to upper 40s on the way in down here in the valley. I can only imagine it's still in the upper 20s or 30s up high. So we'll talk about that. Roger Eggett will check in with us, and then I'll break this news in a couple of minutes. I didn't know this was even on the radar, but there's a change of a name to one of our state parks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it means it means something to us in particular.
I had to read that over and over a couple of times to understand that was going to be a state. To correlate, I don't want to spill the beans here, but to correlate the name to the park, I didn't quite get that.
We'll tell you what that's about.
I do now.
And I had a chance a couple of days ago to talk with Megan Blackwelder from State Parks. We'll have that for you just before we wrap up the show this morning at 8 o'clock. All right, let's break here. We'll come back. News of the week. And, yes, Matt, please bring that music up. I feel as the credits start to roll, may the 4th be with you.
You know, it was just a movie, too.
Welcome back here. Let's, by the way, any calls coming in, Matt? No, no calls. All right. Let's jump into the news of the week here. And we teased it a minute ago, so we might as well let the cat out of the bag. And this was not even on my radar, but we'll talk about it later this morning with Megan Blackwelder. Russ, a buddy of ours, passed away, when was it? A couple of years ago now.
Been 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. We attended the funeral of Fred Hayes up in the Heber Valley. Right. Fred was very involved with all kinds of things at the state level, including ATV coordinator. Yeah. And
done so much stuff with him.
Then he headed the state parks. Yeah. But I learned in my conversation, which you'll hear later this morning, that he really cut his teeth at starvation up there.
Oh, that's right. He worked there.
He grew up there. Yeah. He worked there. I think even as a part-time guy early on. Yeah. On Tuesday of this next week, they are doing the ribbon-cutting ceremony hosted at Fred Hayes State Park at Starvation.
Nice.
How good is that?
That's so nice. Yeah.
And there's going to be a plaque up there commemorating all of this, but the ceremony, I think, is going to take place middle of the day. Anybody can go up there if they wanted to, but I just thought, what a great thing to honor him in that way because he was so involved with state parks. On Tuesday. I'm not going to be able to make it because I've got meetings here, but would love to have gone up to that. But we'll tell you more about that coming up in a few, I was going to say a few minutes, but it's a little bit more than an hour away. Fred Hayes Park at Starvation is the new name of the state park, and we just want to send out condolences again, but congratulations to the family. That is a great, great honor for him up there, so look forward to it. There was another note here from the Division of Wildlife Resources about them discontinuing their translocation in urban deer programs. And the subheadline was that low survival rates and the risk of spreading disease cited as the reasons for it. they had been capturing deer that were troubled deer, really, and they were in trouble, obviously, in civilization coming down into the neighborhoods, and they were transplanting them back up into the higher country. They're discontinuing that because these deer are exposed to some other things that deer in the higher country aren't, I guess, and they're afraid of spreading disease that way. The Utah Division of Wildlife Resources made the decision not long ago. The Urban Deer Program will still continue in an effort to minimize deer and human conflicts, but will be a lethal removal only program moving forward.
Sorry. Hey, you know what the problem is? You capture deer in Bountiful, and you take them back up to the herd, and more come down because the deer in Bountiful told the guys, man, there's some nice lawns down there. There's plenty to eat and plenty to see.
But the problem with the disease factor, the chronic wasting disease, or at least the threat of its spread, and you've heard us talk about the effects that it has on deer, elk, and moose. The disease has been spreading through a lot of states across the U.S. and has a very low prevalence rate in Utah deer populations compared to neighboring states like Colorado and Wyoming. They didn't want to negatively impact other deer populations across the state by potentially spreading chronic wasting disease while trying to help the urban deer conflicts. And then they talked about the survivability of the animals that were relocated. A recent DWR study tracked the deer that were removed from urban areas and found that about half of the deer didn't survive after being relocated. In contrast, the average mule deer adult survival across the West is about 85%. So
they had a good life down there in the States.
they had a good life, but the program is not going forward, which I found interesting. But and I'm sure that when people hear there is going to be a lethal removal program now, there's going to be people
mass protesting everywhere.
I want to complain about that. So you can find that information on the division website at wildlife.utah.gov. Just want to bring to your attention a couple of other things that are up there. We talked last week about how to handle and when to leave alone baby birds this time of year. They're giving the same advice about baby bears. If you find baby bears while you're up in the canyons,
take them in.
The rules to baby birds apply to bears as well.
Yeah. Don't put them back in the nest.
Oh, my gosh.
And the problem is if there's a baby bear in your neck of the woods while you're camping early in the season, mama's not far away, so you want to be really careful with that. The other story that I posted on our Facebook page this week has to do with the real concern, and this isn't a laughing matter, about the raging rivers that have already been, making their way down with all of the snowpack starting to melt now. And over the next couple of days, they said really over the next week to 10 days, it's really going to be a problem as we have this above average snowpack beginning to melt, obviously, and kids are fascinated by it. Dogs are fascinated by it. And if a child or a dog happens to go in, what's the natural instant reaction? You want to go in after them and save them. And Channel 5 did a story a couple of days ago of a dad whose son saw a mother and child fall into the river a year ago, I think.
I think it was just last year.
About this same time of year.
Yeah.
And he jumped in after them. His dad did not because he had some swift water training and knew better than to do that because all you do then is put your life at risk. But the son, the mother, and the child all lost their lives in that situation. And so they have been trying to spread the message and have even started an online program to educate people that is as tough as it is. And, put yourself in this position. If your dad and your son or your daughter goes in the river, you tell me you're not going to go in. Your natural instinct would be to do that, but there are other ways to try and rescue if you can keep them in sight.
That's the best thing.
Get below them downriver as fast as you can.
Run like crazy and stay up with them.
get a stick, yeah. get a rope, get something, and try and get it right, to them to get right. them out. But
it's, best thing to do is just stay away from those areas for about a month.
Yeah.
Where you have that super high, fast water. I was talking with Craig Gordon. He was by and dropped the phones off this week and talking about the melt and everything. But the melt is strange this year. Southern Utah had a lot of snow, and I expected to see the Sevier River as it runs through Panguitch in those areas to be extremely high. Usually the fields are all covered with water, and it was not up that high. Mm. And it had not been up that high yet, meaning either we're lucky and the melt is slow, you know, and not coming all on the same day, or we're just waiting for it.
Well, my daughter and her fiance were down in the Moab area. They make an annual spring trip down there, and they're familiar with the spot, and I couldn't tell you exactly which little reservoir they were on. They pulled their trailer in, or were going to pull their trailer into the same place they parked last year. And the place they parked last year was totally underwater. Yeah. So they parked their trailer where they could to in proximity to the reservoir. When they got up the next morning, the reservoir was 5 feet from the door of the trailer.
Wow.
So it had come up that fast overnight.
That's amazing.
And that's really before all of this now warmer weather is coming.
That's really amazing for that area. I mean, but the LaSalle Mountains got a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Want to say thank you to Charlie for sharing a picture that I reposted on our Facebook page. We're warning you about getting out for the new season, and it's actually a very helpful community service poster that, or plaque that's out there, a sign along one of the trails that says, "Hikers, leave a plan and carry a compass. It's awkward when you have to eat your friends," which I think is one of the more pointed reminders of the season.
I hate that.
We'll take a break. We've got news next on the half hour, and then we'll talk mountain bikes with Taylor coming up next. Don't go away.